In our series of Increasing Faith, today I wanted to share a message with you called According to Your Faith. And frequently when we hear those words, we attribute them to us receiving something from the Lord and receiving it by faith. And we hear Jesus using those words when he would say to people, "Be it done unto you according to your faith." But I want to challenge you a little bit with that perspective. Many times we go to that, but I want to encourage you in the perspective of giving or doing according to your faith. Not so much receiving, but can you trust the Lord? Remembering that to walk in faith is to walk in trust with God. Can you trust the Lord with the way that he has gifted and enabled you? As we've shared, we are looking at our mission and vision and kind of renewing our vision with that. And I came up with this term called overall overhaul, and I'll explain a little bit about that here today. But revisiting our vision is loving God and people too and making followers of Jesus. You guys got that. And I would continue to encourage you to establish that in your heart so that the minute someone asks, "What's your church about?" Well, this is it. We love God, we love people too. We want to make followers of Jesus. It's the greatest commandment and the greatest commission combined as one. When we're talking about overall overhaul, I don't know if you're familiar with overhauling an engine. I know my dad is. He's overhauled several. In fact, he overhauled a tractor for me that ran out of oil. I won't tell you why, but anyway, the engine seized up because I ran out of oil, and he opened up the whole engine and overhauled it. Now, typically, when you're going to do an overhaul is different than a complete makeover. A complete makeover is like, okay, we're taking the engine out, we're putting a new engine in. But an overhaul is much more significant than just a tune-up. Typically, with a tune-up, you're changing the spark plugs and you're changing the points and you're hoping that it will run better that way. Maybe some fine-tuning on the carburetor kind of thing. But an overhaul is deeper than that. It goes more, there's more involved than that. First of all, you're talking about putting in new rings. The rings wear, and they wear on the cylinder, and so that you'll put in new rings. Also, oftentimes when you're overhauling, if the cylinder has gotten marked up by these old worn rings, you'll bore out the cylinder, make it a little bit bigger. Hey, now you're going to have a bigger cylinder. You're going to have a little bit more power. That's cool. That's awesome. And but so if you're boring out the cylinder, you also have to put a bigger piston in. So you've got more compression, more powerful engine. But you know, if you really want to beef that thing up, you got to put an oversized cam in it. So when you oversize the cam, then you get a sound something like this. That's for you guys there, but you know, when you and some of the ladies, when you put that oversized cam in there, that's when it'll hardly run because those valves are going down farther. The cam is bigger, it's pushing those valves down farther. It's open more, it's getting more fuel in, thus more power. It'll hardly run when it's idling because there's so much fuel going in, it almost chokes itself out. However, you rev that thing up and it's got power. When we're talking about an overall overhaul, we're talking about establishing within this congregation, revisiting some things, revisiting our vision and how we carry that out so that we'll be more effective, more power, not performance from us doing performing things, but performance from the Lord working through us in a more effective and a more powerful way. So with that, we're evaluating all the different areas. When we talk about overall, we're talking about each area of ministry and the overall experience of a person from the time they drive onto our lot to the time that they leave. So we're looking at entrance to the building. What's that look like? What's a person's experience as they come in the building? What happens when they see the greeters or are greeted by the greeters and the ushers and the atmosphere? Is it one of life with the music and video that's going? Is it you walk in and everyone's quiet and solemn and we don't like to be here? Or is it, you know, we love coming. We love the fellowship and we love the atmosphere that happens here. And especially when we're talking about possible kids being dropped off and parents bringing their kids, what's their experience? They're not typically used to a church and they're really not wanting to come to church, but they're glad to have us help with their kids. You know, what's their experience when they walk in? Is it going to be a place you know, I might stick around. I like that music. I like what's going on. They're friendly people here. I'm not even staying, but they greeted me and welcomed me and that kind of thing. So all those different things. We talk about signage. Do people know where to go? Nursery, what's that like? What's the experience that they have with their kids? Kids church, as we've been talking about, kids with a Z. Kids church and our worship team, the experience that they're having. And Larissa is so good about pressing for excellence with our worship team. Her and I do things, you know, communicate with one another and talk about how things can be advanced and increased as far as excellence. And the audio visual team. And by the way, I have an apology to make to the audio and visual because I made this public last week when I made this snide comment when they were getting the echo that we got today. And I said the foolish thing of, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I tell you what, there is so much to do back there and so many buttons to push and keep track of that I already apologized to them privately, but I said this publicly, and I didn't need to make that comment. We appreciate you guys and what you do back there and realize that there's so much, and there's so that's good. We love you guys. But then the service experience. What happens when you come in here and you get to experience what we do on a Sunday morning? What's that like? And the prayer ministry team that follows our service. These are the things that we're looking at and examining and want to. Here's the phrase that I've given with our ministry leaders is for a person that's coming in, especially someone who is unchurched or very little church experience, let's wow them with excellence. Let's wow them with excellence so that they come in and go, you know what, this is not a shabby place. These are not shabby people, not because of the way that we're dressed, but because of the presence of the Lord that is among us and working through us. And we are all committed and dedicated to the gifting that God has given us and expressing that in the body and outside of the body so that people get to experience the presence of the Lord. This is kind of interesting. Before this whole concept about the Change Kids Church and this overall overhaul, this is one of the things, and it's fine enough print that you might be challenged in being able to read it here, but this is one of the results of the Reveal survey that 52 of you got online and completed this online survey. And here were the priorities. It says what your people say are the top five priorities for Praise Fellowship Church. The number one there is provides strong programs for children. Who'd have known? Yeah, when we were talking about, well, maybe what we need to do is just, you know, bring kids into the service. Well, that would have gone contrary, and we didn't know that these were the results of your survey. We didn't know that when we were saying, no, that's not right. We need to do something, and the Lord really beefs up what we had as far as a perspective of reaching and ministering to children. But now here's the other thing that I've got to put back on you and challenge you. If you see this as a priority, the number one top priority, don't you dare just sit there and do nothing about it. You got that? When these guys are presenting opportunities for you to be involved, don't you dare say, yeah, that's a priority. We got to have kids church. We got to have strong children's program. What are you doing to help with that? I love coming to church. I love the music. I love the fellowship, and I'm around. Is that good enough? There's so many ways that you can be involved, and I want to help you to realize that being involved doesn't mean you're in kids' church for the whole 2 hours every Sunday. That's not what it's about. The way they are setting things up, there'll be little things to be involved in. You're done with that, you come back in here, or you're a part of what else, everything else that's going on. So there's a tremendous opportunity for you to live out what you have declared to be a priority. And oh, by the way, the other things that are listed up there as top priorities is challenges me to grow. I tell you what, we are presenting you a challenge to grow. Don't deny it and say, well, that's not for me. This is where we get out of the boat, Peter, and walk on water. Do something you haven't done before. Let yourself be stressed out of your comfort zone, and that's the best way to grow. Also, helps me to develop a prayer life. Well, I tell you what, if you're going to be in front of a bunch of children, you're going to start to pray like you've never prayed before. So here's your opportunity. Also, number four is help develop a personal relationship with Christ. When you are accountable and responsible for others and their development, it helps you to develop as well. And then church leaders model how to grow. You get to watch other people in their leadership expressing their gifting as well. So, you know, this one area that we've given you will help to supply those various priorities that you have communicated to us that are priorities for us as a church. As I shared, I abbreviated this message and am abbreviating it even more because I'm conscientious of your time and your activities and the things that you are intending to do. So I'm just going to make reference to the various passages of Scripture that I'm sharing with you today. I'm not going to go through them in the detail that I otherwise would have. I probably will at another time. But the Romans 12 passage speaks of your gifting and offering your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice. This is the way that you worship Him. When we say we're loving God, it's a whole lot more than you standing and raising your hand saying, I love you, Lord. It's our service to Him that reveals our true worship. Being honest and evaluating yourself, measuring by the faith God has given us. Now, here again, we're talking about according to your faith. According to your faith, not just be it done unto you, but according to your faith, you do. You evaluate yourself according to the faith that God has given you. And then God, in His grace, with us being one part, one body, many parts, all belonging to each other, God, in His grace, has given us certain gifts for doing things well. That is to prophesy or speaking on God's behalf, as it says in that passage, I'm just going to have you read it yourself, with as much faith as God has given you. In serving and teaching and encouraging, giving leadership, showing kindness with genuine love to each other. And then this 1 Peter 4 passage, I've shared this with you a number of times, how God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God Himself were speaking through you. See, you're yoked together with the Lord. You're doing it with the energy that He supplies. As it says, do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to Him forever and ever. This is how we show that we are loving God and people too, by serving Him and by serving the people that God calls His own and by serving those people that are not yet His, that have not yet made that decision, and bringing them a step closer to coming to the Lord. So here we are, people, with an opportunity that God has presented before us. And I'm going to close with this reference to Philippians chapter 2 and verses 1 through 9. Where in this passage, it speaks about working together with one mind and one purpose. We can be a people who are doing that. And it says, don't look out only for your own interest. Take an interest in others too. Now, it doesn't say do not look for your own interests at all. You know, it's like just like when Paul spoke to the Ephesian elders in the book of Acts, chapter 20 and verse 28. He said, look out for yourselves and for the flock that God has called you to. We are to look out for ourselves. And anyone in a church, belonging to a church, you do need to look out for your own interests. Make sure that you aren't being spiritually abused, or make sure that you're not being misled, or those kinds of things are vital. They're vital. But not just for your own interests. Look out for the interests of others too. And that's where we start giving preference to others. That's when we start saying, what's in it for me? And start going, how can I be what's in it for someone else? How can I be a part of what someone else is blessed with? Don't look out only for your own interests, but for the others' interests of others too. And then it goes on to say, have the same attitude as Jesus. And we know what He did. He gave up His heavenly privileges. He humbled Himself in obedience to God to become a man, and even to the point of death upon the cross. Jesus, how He expressed Himself is through humility and serving to the point of sacrifice. The same as the Romans chapter 12 passage, give yourselves as a living sacrifice. He humbled Himself in obedience to God, and as a result of that, God elevated Him to the place of honor. We don't need to look for the place of honor. We need to look for the place of service. We need to look to the place of humbling ourselves and serving others and being of one mind and one purpose and grasping hold of the challenge that God has given us to do this as a body. Grab hold, get on board, and we're going to be walking in the blessings. And God will elevate in His way, in His season, in His time, to the place that He has called us to. Let's pray. Father, so many things that You have entrusted to us. We're a small congregation, but we know You let us do big things, and we smile about that, God. You have called us to do awesome things and things that are beyond the natural. That's what faith is all about, applying the power of God and the Word of God to our lives so that we are doing so much more than we would otherwise be able to do. Thank You, Lord, for trusting us like that. And I thank You, God, for this group of people that You have brought quality people to this congregation. And we understand seasons and changes, but we believe that You are just making the, as the Word says, from glory to glory, Lord, from one step of faith to another step of faith, You are causing us to increase. And we want to be about the things that You have called us to do. So with that, we're happy, we're glad, we want to be a part of what You're doing, Father. Thank You, in Jesus' name. Amen.